And just to let you know, Tiffany, give the rules to the audience when they come up, if you can, real quick.
Absolutely. When you guys come up and join us, just give a really quick, I acknowledge I'm being recorded, and then you can say your statement.
All right, so let me get started here just for the audience of the podcast here and give them a little music. All right, everyone, I want to welcome you guys to Extraterrestrial Evidence. This is Roderick Martin, and also with the greatest admin of all time, which is Tiffany here. We both are MUFON investigators, and we investigate, you guess it, UFOs, right? But tonight, we're going to be talking about crop circles, and it is Thursday, terrific Thursday, I should say, and so we're going to be doing that. So you guys listening to the audience, definitely if you are in the audience of Clubhouse right now, you're going to be able to participate in what we're doing, because we're going to be talking about crop circles. So I'm sure you guys got lots and lots of questions, okay? And so with that being said, I'm going to be introducing the greatness of Barbara Lamb. Now, if you haven't heard about her, you should look her up. She got books. She's been on TV. I mean, all the places that we want to be in the future and finding out all this information. And a little bit of background. She's a licensed psychotherapist, certified hypnotherapist, a regression therapist. She practiced in the state of California. And one of the great things about Barbara, she specializes in counseling and conducting regression therapy with people who experience various kinds of encounters with extraterrestrials and also those interdimensional beings. So with that being said, we're now live and going here, and I'll shut this down here, and we're going to get started in just a minute. But I want to make a quick announcement for everyone who's listening here this Sunday, so that you know, 8:30, we're going to be live on YouTube with Anjali. And if you don't know who that is the, or she is the former intelligence officer that worked for the Secretary of Defense that came out in not long ago, shared her CE5 experience that she's had with the extraterrestrials and her experience. But she says now they came back to her recently and gave her a message that we're going to be sharing with everybody, and she's going to be live. So you get to see her live and ask some questions not through Facebook, but YouTube Live, and she's going to answer those questions. So I think this is one of the things we've been waiting for a very, very long time for those of us who want to know who she is directly. And so that'll be great there too. Another thing,
what's the time and how do we find you again?
You're going to find me. I won't be in witness protection anymore. So you guys can just say Google. No, go to YouTube, look up Extraterrestrial Evidence, the YouTube channel. Now, one of the things you can do, let you guys know, we've been working on a project here real quickly, and it is Extraterrestrial Evidence. We have a 800 numbers toll free. This is for anybody who's in any other country, here, whatever. You can text to that number, the keyword UFO. And what that's going to do is put you on our alert list. And the reason why I'm saying this is important, there's a lot of disclosures and things that's coming out. And there's a lot of people from government officials, different people that I've gotten lined up to speak with, but they can't really come on Clubhouse during our showtime. So that's going to be spontaneous, if I'm saying it right. But what I want you to do, if you sign up for that and you get those alerts, then you'll be able to know exactly when these people are on, because it may be during the day, during their work hours, and then you're going to get a lot of notifications and VIP stuff that's going on. So that number is 888-493-9998. Now, if you click on my bio or profile here, you'll see that number as well. Text UFO to it. You're going to be part of the list as well, and you do not want to miss it. And thank you for those who've already doing it right as we speak, because I'm getting those notices. So great. And it will then give you a link back to the YouTube channel. So that way you'll find it on Sunday when it comes down. So let me start. Tiffany, once again, we are live. How are you doing today, and how have you been? How's your week? And then we'll get on here with Barbara.
I'm fantastic, and I'm just excited to hear what Barbara has to say this evening.
Well, okay, so we're going to be talking about crop circles, and Barbara, I want to thank you for being here, and we're going to, we'll be over at 10 o'clock. So what we want to do, Barbara, let's kind of, you can explain a little things about crop circles, what I've done. I think you're going to be talking about several ones, and we're going to make some picture references, and so what I did was I loaded them up on our Facebook page. And I'll give that out once we get to that section if people want to listen to the ones that you're making reference to and talking about. But in the meantime, if you can just start with, give us the update, not so much an update, but what is, and you want to text the word UFO to get on that list. Somebody text the wrong word. I just got, that's why I said update, right? You know who you are. Text the word UFO, and then you'll get on the list, and it'll reply back to you. So try it again. But anyway, Barbara, tell us a little bit about what exactly is a crop circle and why is the phenomenon. And I think we don't hear enough about those things, but just go ahead and give us a little history first, because you've been doing this for a long time. So go ahead.
Okay, well, I think that's a good place to start. Like, what on earth is a crop circle? Well, a crop circle is a pattern, and it seems to be a very deliberate pattern or design, not just a little squashed down area, but a very specifically designed symbol or picture, shall we say, laid down in the fields of a growing crop. And these are designs or pictures that are really pretty large. I mean, they actually go from very small, like 2 feet in diameter, up to, in one case, 1,200 feet long in one pattern. And the amazing thing is that most of them appear in the nighttime, in the absolute darkest part of the night. And in England, in the spring and summer, when these crop circles appear, their nighttime, because they're so far north, their nighttime is very, very short. It's really just a very few hours long, from maybe 10:30 or 11 at night at the beginning of the darkness. And then by about 4 o'clock in the morning, it starts to get light again. And so that's a very small window of time in which these beautiful big patterns are mysteriously laid down. And I think that that's probably very purposeful, because whoever or whatever is laying down these patterns in the field, they probably don't want to be seen. And in England, where most of the crop circles happen, although it is a worldwide phenomenon, so almost every country has had crop circles at one time or the other. But in England, the short night happens. And then once in a great while, a crop circle will appear during the daytime. And from what we could tell, just from witnesses driving by a field and seeing that there's no crop circle there, and then returning past that field, maybe 20 minutes later or half an hour later, there suddenly is a big, perfect crop circle pattern that wasn't there 20 minutes or 30 minutes earlier. And there never seems to be a really distinct witness to these crop circles being made. And that is one of the really intriguing aspects that kind of keeps us all hooked into it, those who are really involved. So I would like to say that I became fascinated with crop circles without having heard anything of them whatsoever. Back in 1990, I was at a Whole Life Expo and looking through the catalog about which of the many, many lectures I'd like to go to while there. And I came across a little notice with a funny little picture where the speaker's picture usually is for every other lecture. And but this was a picture of a design of sort, turned out to be a crop circle. And the title of the lecture was something like Mysterious Patterns in the Fields of Britain. And immediately when I read that and saw that funny little picture, I thought, oh, we're being communicated with by beings out there. Now, that was just one of those moments you probably all had them where you get this flash of insight and you really don't know where it came from. Well, you see, I had not been doing any work that involved extraterrestrials at all at that point. So it seemed like it was something larger that was happening in me, you know, to have this sudden flash, oh, we're being communicated with beings who are out there in space. Well, there was at that time no evidence for that I knew of, but I was fascinated with that notion about these big patterns appearing in the fields. So I went to the lecture, and halfway through the lecture, in which there was videotape footage of crop circles in England and lots of photos. And halfway through the lecture, I found myself slapping myself on the thigh and raising my hand and deciding immediately, that's it. I'm going to England next summer to investigate this. This sounds fascinating. So sure enough, the next summer, which was 1991, I went to England for crop circles for the first time and saw and went into several of them and happened to synchronistically meet just the right researchers at the right time, right place, right time. I mean, just one thing led to the other absolutely perfectly. And I decided while there, okay, I'm in. I am just hooked. This is something I'm going to continue to be interested in. So thereafter, I went for 27 summers, every summer, to England to, again, research the crop circles, just getting more and more involved in it all the time. And then, of course, during those years, starting in 1991, that's when I also began to have people coming to me for hypnotic regressions to experiences that they had had with extraterrestrial beings. So you see, those two subjects of research, shall we say, and work went along hand in hand very nicely together. With both areas of interest just gathering tremendous momentum inside of myself and momentum with people like you, you know, who are interested in these kinds of things. And thank goodness you are, because I think it is really worthwhile. These are subjects that can really make a difference in our lives and our whole perspective about what reality is and what it includes that we didn't know beforehand that it included. So anyway, I went to England, and after a few years of really getting my footing, shall we say, and being comfortable driving on the left side of the road, as they do, and going around the roundabouts to the left and navigating all around the countryside and learning how to find the crop circles, that sometimes is a challenge, and learning how to get into the fields, because sometimes we would have to climb through barbed wire fences or over very high gates or over the top of a barbed wire fence. And so those of us who were doing this, certainly, after a while, I had to allocate certain pairs of pants as our crop circle pants because they'd be full of little holes from the barbed wire, and our skin would have its fair share of scratches, too. But never mind. It was all such an adventure, so much fun. I used to consider it like a giant treasure hunt across the landscape. Because, of course, the crop circles don't all happen in the same field or even in the same area, so that they might be by car, might be an hour or two away from each other. Mostly they were in Wiltshire County in southwest England, the ones that I went to, and that's where I stayed. And then sometimes they were in Hampshire County or Sussex or Somerset County or Oxfordshire or Berkhamshire. Anyway, they're around quite a large area. And so it was always an adventure in a rented British car or van, you know, to go tootling off and hoping that we would find the most recent crop circles. So after a few years of doing this by myself and with a friend or two, I had more and more people from this country asking if they could possibly go with me. They wanted to visit crop circles, but had no idea where to go or how to find them or where to stay or anything. So I started leading crop circle tours. And I did that for quite a number of years, which was a great adventure for us all. The largest group that I ever took was 18 people. And the reason for capping it at that number was because if I had taken a larger group, I would have had to hire a bus, like a school bus size vehicle. And I didn't want to do that. So I would take these vans and then have a friend drive a second van so that 18, or actually with us drivers, 19 of us going. I also didn't want to take huge groups into every restaurant for every meal, or even a big busload of people into any one crop circle. It's sort of offensive, I felt. There was a group from France that would come along some of those summers in a huge bus, and maybe about 40 or 50 people would suddenly get off that bus and tromp into the fields, walking toward the crop circle, and then filling up the crop circle. And it was really pretty obnoxious for the rest of us who were trying to meditate in the crop circle or lie down or have a nap or measure the energies in various ways and, you know, just have a really peaceful time. So anyway, those were great adventures. And so early in the 1990s, there were groups like the MUFON groups, one of many types of groups that were aware somehow that I was learning about the crop circles and started asking me to give talks about that, lectures at their monthly meetings, and then conferences. Somehow those people found out and asked me to give crop circle lectures, which I was always able to do with slides in those early days, and then eventually PowerPoint. And it is wonderful when I can talk about crop circles and show pictures of what I'm talking about. And then eventually, in the year 2000, I wrote a book about crop circles. That book is still available on Amazon or by me personally, and it's called Crop Circles Revealed. And the subtitle of Crop Circles Revealed is Language of the Light Symbols. So I had a wonderful co-author for that book who channeled an 11th dimensional being who was named Leolin. And this 11th dimensional being channeled information through Judith Moore about the whole crop circle phenomenon, and also channeled about 65 different individual crop circles. So half of this book, Crop Circles Revealed, is my information, everything we knew about the phenomenon, which still holds true, by the way, from the point of view of being here on Earth, experiencing the crop circles and the history, the development of the patterns and all the theories about them, the mechanics of them, the measurements, the testing and so forth. And then her information in the second half of the book was this channeled information from a really high perspective. And I think that's the only book about crop circles that has that kind of perspective off-planet, very high-dimensional perspective included in the material. So back to the crop circles itself. So as I said, the crop circles are patterns, and they're very deliberate, distinct, exacting patterns laid down in the field. So just imagine a great big field with wheat growing in it, such as you might see in Kansas or Nebraska. But now we're talking about these kinds of fields in England. And then out in the middle of the field, there is a depressed area, depressed in the crop. And that is the crop circle. Now, the crops are not just pushed down or bent down, stomped down. They are gently bent over just above where they come out of the ground, bent over in a beautiful little arc just above ground level, and they lie along the ground, and they continue to grow and ripen and come to full maturity. That is, I'm talking about the what we call the genuine crop circles made by the unknown mysterious phenomenon. And I will talk about the hoaxed crop circles also in a bit here, the ones that are made by men. But mostly I'm talking about the original or the genuine crop circles made by the unknown phenomenon. Now, some of these crop circles are in wheat, as I mentioned. Some of them happen in barley crops, which is a beautiful crop. The stalk comes up high. When it's fully grown, it would be about 4 or 4.5 feet tall. And then the top end of each stalk is like a feather, kind of. It sort of curves over. And when a little breeze or a wind blows across the field, as often happens, all the tops of the barley plants kind of like wiggle and blow like feathers blowing in the wind. It's just exquisitely beautiful. And so are the crop circles that are laid down in barley. Another crop that a lot of crop circles happen in is the oilseed canola plants. And those plants are gorgeous. They have sort of a dark green stem. And then at the top of the stem, they have a whole big fluffy grouping of bright yellow flowers. So every time in the springtime, when the plants are still yellow at the top, every time I would drive across a field of canola plants, I'd just go, oh, because it was so beautiful. This bright, bright yellow plant in the daylight, absolutely gorgeous. And then some crop circles happen in oats or corn. And by the way, the corn plants can be as high as 12 or 13 feet. I mean, in other words, they tower over most of us for sure. And they have very, very thick stalks, almost like the trunk of a small tree. And yet, those corn plants with the cobs on them and all the leaves that you see with corn plants, they somehow are gently bent over at ground level, lie along the surface of the ground undamaged, and can be swirled, as within the other crops, swirled around in a circular pattern. And with most of these crop circles, or many of them anyway, the very center of the crop circle is a tightly swirled circle of whatever that plant is. And some of them get more elaborate, like there can be a braiding of the crops going around in a circle. And there can be little nests and sculptures made of the wheat, with the rest of the pattern just laid down very smoothly around it. I mean, I'll tell you, over the years, these things became more and more elaborate with more and more features in them. And sometimes my friends and I would go in and see a new feature, like 3 foot tall sculptures mysteriously made of the wheat or whatever the crop was, right in the middle of or anywhere in a crop circle with the laid down plants. I mean, we would just gasp and, of course, get out our cameras and photograph like mad. So crop circles can also happen in soy plants, particularly when they happen in the Midwest of United States, where they grow a lot of the shorter soy plants. And crop circles have been known, especially in France, in a couple of cases, to grow or to be laid down in spinach plants. And one summer only in England, a beautiful crop circle, which was a series of circles joined together in kind of a graceful curve, that field was full of red poppies. So we always referred to that, the poppies crop circle. Absolutely, incredibly gorgeous. So that meant that even the plants that had been laid down and swirled into this pattern of circles, that meant that the poppy plants were laid down too, of course, or the poppy flowers laid down in the poppy plants. And so, but even then, having been laid down, they were not crushed or squashed or flattened. In other words, what I'm suggesting is that whatever this force is that makes crop circles, that lays down these plants, it is so effective in doing that, that every single plant in that pattern is laid down equally and gently, beautifully, no damage happening to those plants at all. And I will just add the contrast to the man-made, the hoax crop circles. Those plants are bent over near ground level, but they are stomped or pushed down with a man's foot on a board. Therefore, those plants break where they come out of the ground, and therefore they lose their connection with their own roots. So those plants immediately die. And if you go into a crop circle that has been man-made, even the next day, those plants, all the ones that have been laid down in the crop circle, they just kind of look flat, dull. They're not living. They're dead. And of course, there's no more growing or developing of those plants at all. And there is no energy. So energy is a really, really important component of this phenomenon, because in the genuine ones made by the unknown force, a lot of energy is added to those crop circles, presumably in the making of the crop circle. And that energy can last for weeks or months or years. Now, I say years because there have been a couple of British men who've done an experiment. They made absolutely correct notation of the location within a field, the location of the crop circle in a particular field. And then the next season, they went in, the crop circle was gone, but they went into the same location in that field and measured the energies, and the energies were still there. Now, this experiment went on with one Englishman for 8 consecutive years. The energy 8 years was still there in that area of the field where 8 years earlier a crop circle had been laid down, a genuine one. So we know there is a lot of energy there applied to the crop circle as it is being made, and it does last a long time, maybe probably lasts longer than 8 years, but at least I know that that particular man did 8 years of research on this. Now, the energies can be determined quite easily. Some people can just go in and they just kind of hold their hands out in front of them and they feel the energy coming into the palms of their hands. And some people are so sensitive that they can just feel that energy throughout their whole body. And it's not quite like anything else that they remember feeling in any other situation. It seems to be specific, this energy, to each crop circle. Now, there are machines that sometimes people take in, handheld devices like magnetometers and electrostatic voltmeters and microwave detectors. And those instruments measure the energy. And so anybody using such an instrument will take a measurement in that field outside of the crop circle. They'll get what the normal reading for a crop energy is. And then with that device, they'll go into the crop circle and watch the dial go up to higher and higher numbers, registering that there is a different and higher amount of energy in that crop circle. Now, some of us, my friends in particular, liked using a pendulum, and they'd go through the field or through the tractor track, which they call a tram line, leading through the field into the crop circle. And that pendulum would just stay pointing down and basically not move at all. But when they'd step into the crop circle, that pendulum would start to swing around in one direction or the other. And when they would get to the swirled center, or whatever was the most energized part of that crop circle, that pendulum would swing around wildly. And I myself preferred to use dowsing rods, as a number of other people did too. So as I would approach one of these genuine crop circles on the tractor track, they would stay parallel to each other. In other words, nothing different about the energy at all. And again, when I would step one or two steps into the crop circle that had been laid down, those dowsing rods opened up. And when I got to the most energized part of that crop circle, whether it was a swirled circle or some other part of it, those dowsing rods would open up fully, and if my body hadn't been in the way, they would have swung all the way around in a circle. So when we compare things, which I've done often, compare the results with a dowsing rod and with somebody with a pendulum and with an electrostatic voltmeter or magnetometer or one of those instruments, microwave, where there was an increase in energy, all of those devices would definitely indicate the change or the increase of energy in the crop circle. But none of that that I've just mentioned happened in the man-made, the hoaxed crop circles, because there wasn't any change of energy and the plants died. So I think that's good to keep in mind, because so many people in England and here have commented to me, oh, they're just made by blokes from the local pub, or don't you think those are really just young guys who go out there in the middle of the night and make crop circles? Well, frankly, no. I think, in my opinion, having really kept track of this phenomenon for so many years now, actually it's about 30 years now, I think, at least in my somewhat educated opinion, I would say that at least 80% of them are genuine and 20% at the most, in my estimation, are man-made.
Barbara, and I got a question for you.
Okay.
We're going to be done at 10 o'clock. So we're going to go ahead in just a second, if you don't mind. I'll start letting people in the audience come up that want to have questions. I got two of them for you first, and if you can kind of answer them. And then I don't know how many people we're going to have up just now, but their hands are starting to raise, and that way we'll know how to get to them. So, Tiffany, if you can do a quick reset, and then I'll make another announcement, and then we'll go from there.
Absolutely. Good evening, everyone. You are in the Extraterrestrial Evidence Club. Tonight's topic is crop circles. We're here with Barbara Lamb, accomplished author, regression therapist. She doesn't need an introduction. Amazing, amazing person to talk to about this subject. So if you want to come on up, ask your question, make your statement, share your thoughts, that is absolutely fine. Just raise your hand. We'll pull you right up. All I ask is that before you begin your statement, just give a quick, I acknowledge I'm being recorded, because tonight's session is being recorded for later upload to the podcast or the YouTube channel.
Yep. Okay. So that is correct. And for those of you know, when you do come up, we're going to make sure that we don't stay here a long time, or you don't. So we're going to, since you're asking a question, I'm going to give you 30 seconds to ask your question. If you go too far, you hear this particular beautiful sound. That means that we need to shut it down for you, but you definitely don't want to hear that sound. Okay, and so that means time is really up on you, and then Tiffany will do what she got to do. Now, I know some of you guys are new tonight in the room, coming in and out. If so, if you go to my profile and click on it, you're going to see an 800 number that we have just set up for extraterrestrial evidence. It is a live 800 number, meaning you can call us anytime. We're going to have a bunch of people there. We're opening up our online magazine. We can talk about different things. But most importantly, if you text the word UFO to that number, you're going to be on our VIP list, because we got a lot of guests that's going to be coming throughout these weeks. And sometimes they can't come on a Tuesday and Thursday night, because we're going to catch them during the offices. And we know that, you know, this is live Clubhouse. So if you miss it, you miss it. Right. So basically, you don't want to do that. You definitely, you know, we'll text you out, let you know, hey, we're on right now, because some of these notifications coming through Clubhouse is not where they need to be. And sometimes you're just not going to know when things are happening. But you don't want to miss a lot of disclosure and things that we're talking about. So that number is 888-493-998. Text the word UFO and it'll reply back to you that you're on the list and everything else. But you can go to my profile and you will see that as well. So with that being said, Barbara, I got two questions I want to ask, and I know Tiffany has one, and then we'll get to the audience as well. So my first question of two is, are there any messages within these crop circles that we're being, that we just can't decipher, or have y'all, or through these years, been able to hear the messages saying, whatever, get out of the way or whatever. I don't know. But what messages are we getting?
Oh, there are lots of messages. For instance, these crop circles very often have a symbol. They look like a symbol, a very well-designed symbol. And some of those symbols we actually even recognize. Like there may be some religious symbols sometimes. There's over the years have been several variations of the Christian cross. And there have also been symbols like the Kabbalah Tree of Life symbol.
+1917805.
Symbol like the menorah candle arrangement, even with a little oil lamp. And another year there were two crop circles fairly near each other in one field. One seemed to represent the mind, the logical left brain part of the mind. It looked like a perfectly structured grid pattern. And then the one next to it looked more like the right brain, the intuitive, and it was in the shape of a heart. So we thought, isn't that nice? And then, of course, over the years, there were several different renditions of the Chinese mandala, the yin-yang symbol, mandala form. And then there have been crop circles that certainly seem to show the wormholes, like the wormholes through space and spinning vortexes, all kinds of symbols and lots of different geometries. In fact, there's one researcher in England who every year after the crops were harvested and the crop circle therefore was not really seen anymore, that man spent the next 8 months or so studying the geometries of the crop circles. Some of them were really complex geometries, making beautiful, beautiful patterns. And one year, 2010, there was a perfect depiction of pi, P-I, that aspect of geometry, but it was in a beautiful pictorial design. And then we've had fractal geometries in a number of different crop circles. And what I had not realized was there not only was what is called the Julia set fractal geometry, but fractals come in many, many different geometric shapes. And when I'm able to give a lecture and show pictures, I show about 8 or 10 different designs that were made with fractal geometry. But of course, it's more difficult to just talk about it and not to show you. So we've had Julia sets, patterns, and we had one pattern that was a triple Julia. In other words, there were three spiral arms of circles that came out of the same circular center.
Hey, Barbara, real quickly, I'm sorry. Guys, the images that she's talking about, if you go to Facebook, you look up UFO Syndicate, which is our Facebook group. I've loaded actually most of these pictures that she's speaking of right now. The one that she's speaking of, the Triple Julia set, is plate 68. Right. It's on Facebook now. If you go there and then just look at the post and you'll see some of those images as well. Now, Barbara, real quickly, we got a couple of some more people coming up. And then my last little quick question, and if you can hit that real quickly. And also for the person who was trying to call the 800 number while I'm live, thank you for testing that out. Okay. But at the same time, Barbara, are these crop circles made from below or above? I mean, where is this coming from? You know, and then we're going to take some questions from the audience.
Right. Well
Tiffany,
there are different theories about how the crop circles are actually made. Most of the theories include the fact that we think that the crop circles are made from above, and not only from above the surface of the land and the crop, but many of the theories include the thought that they may be made from something that is much further out in space. Now, it has been seen and photographed and videotaped that there were balls of light, spheres of light, not terribly big, maybe the size of a basketball or a little bit larger, usually balls of white light that come down from above, down to the top of a crop. And it's been seen and videotaped. One of those balls of light was skimming along the top of a wheat field back in 1990, dipped down into the field, like touching the ground for a second or two, rose up again to the top of the crop, moseyed around a little bit more, dipped down again. In other words, what I think is that ball of light was testing the ground, testing the conditions, like were these conditions in this part of the field appropriate for laying down a crop circle or not. One of the things that it may have been testing for was water, because most of the crop circles have been laid down in a crop that is growing out of the ground under which there is some water. It might be an underground stream or a couple of streams crossing each other or an underground pond or lake or river or aquifer. In fact, in the area of England, Wiltshire County, Hampshire County, Somerset County, all of that land has a geological aquifer, a water area under it. And so it seems like the balls of light might be testing to see where there is underground water. And where there's underground water, that would be a good place for the next crop circle to be made. Now, there are other sightings that have happened of a beam of light coming down from the sky and hitting the field. Now, when this has been seen in the middle of the night by somebody happening to drive by that field, they can't see what the beam of light is doing when it gets to the field. But if the person drives by that same field the next day, in the daylight, they see that there is a new crop circle there. And one man even saw a beam of light coming down from a silver disc-shaped craft, not terribly high up in the sky. He could see it clearly. And that beam came down and he could watch it as he was riding along the edge of the field in his bicycle. He could watch it swirling down the crop and laying down a crop circle. Now, a couple of people have seen what they described as an invisible wind blowing across a field and stopping at a certain point in the field, and then they could see that the crop was being swirled around and laid down into a crop circle. So there's an American biophysicist, he's no longer with us, but Dr. Levengood in Michigan, he studied the plants from crop circles in England, also from crop circles in the U.S., and compared them with plants outside of those same crop circles. He came down with a theory years ago of an energy plasma vortex coming down through our upper atmosphere down to the field, this swirling plasma vortex, and that, he thought, was laying down the plants. Now, a number of years later, this same Dr. Levengood determined that somehow the plants were being pulled downward from under the surface of the soil. So we really still don't know for sure. But one of the other theories is that crop circles are made or laid down by sound, by a change of frequency. And some people have thought they come from some sort of beam technology from a craft up there in the sky. And maybe all of the above make crop circles.
Wow, that's amazing, too. You know, just to hear all of that. So are you ready for some questions? Tiffany is going to be first, but if we could answer them as quickly as we can so that we have 30 minutes left that we want any other people to come up. And then if any of you guys got one question you can ask, then if we don't have anyone up, then we'll just rotate back to you for your second question, if that's fair enough for everybody. But Tiffany, go ahead and lead out.
Oh, I'll be brief. You mentioned, Barbara, that when you were going to see these crop circles that you were having to overcome all these barriers like barbed wire and high fencing. Was this something placed by any type of officials, or was this from the farmer? Why was it such an obstacle for you to get to these things?
Well, of course, these fields are owned by individual farmers, and their livelihood is selling the crops that they grow. And there are all kinds of challenges to growing them anyway. So basically, they want to keep the public out of their fields. Not all of the crop circle fields are fenced in, but I'd say most of them are, and most of them have a gate. So since we had to really overcome those challenges, especially in the early years, and farmers were realizing, no matter what they did in terms of
+1 212 424 2397
or extraterrestrial evidence. In the crop circle. So after, I'd say 3 or 4 years of visitors frequenting the fields, they posted a person by the gate to the field to collect a little donation from people who would come in. In other words, they'd want 2 or 3 pounds, which would be equivalent to maybe $4 or $5, something like that. And we were always very, very happy to pay that, because then we could feel that we were welcomed in the field, because many of the farmers did not welcome people in them. But anyway, that's why they have the gates and the fences.
Thank you. Okay, so Roman, you're going to be first. Just a quick reminder, before you begin your question or statement or whatever you have to share, just acknowledge that you're being recorded and then go for it.
My name's Roman. I acknowledge I'm being recorded. The scientific consensus does not acknowledge the validity of crop circles, yet, you know, the energy signatures found on the matrix of the plants in real crop circles seem to defy conventional explanations for said energy signatures. What would you tell the scientific establishment, and how do we encourage them to accept the empirical evidence that cannot be explained behind the crop circle phenomena, such that people who are part of sort of the people who listen to legacy media will then start to inquire into the nature of crop circles?
Well, I would just suggest that if they possibly can, that they actually go and visit a crop circle personally and just simply experience it, which is really different than just hearing about it.
But most people, you know, not to question you too difficultly on this, but most people don't have that opportunity. So what would you suggest that folks that study crop circles, how can they communicate it, the phenomena, such that it actually takes hold in the psyche of the collective, such that we explore the implications of crop circles more deeply?
Well, there is quite a bit of written material about crop circles, and some of that material will talk about the tests that I've been mentioning, the tests about the energies, the tests about the changes of plants in the plants, and comparing them to the man-made crop circles. So there really is quite a bit of literature, and I would certainly recommend that somebody would get hold of some of those books and read about the studies that have been done. By the way, there have been studies done about the cases, the people who have been healed physically by some malady by being in a crop circle. And there also have been studies on the changes in the consistency of water that's been left in crop circles. So it's wonderful that there are certain people who've done various aspects of research over a number of years.
I think there's also something to be said, not that you asked me, Roman, but just to interject very quickly, there's definitely something to be said about the scientific community as a whole and society as a whole. If you don't buy into the understanding of intelligent creation of these phenomena, then it would be very difficult to be able to accept any more of it, right? So if at the very base you don't believe that it is created by anything other than man, then it kind of discounts all the rest of that. So it makes it difficult to want to formulate anything like a scientific understanding and getting people on board. Like you're saying, how do we get people to jump on board with that? I think it has to start at the base, the beginning of the belief.
Yes, and there's also the aspect that science so often relies on replicable experiments. In other words, to prove something to their satisfaction, they want to be able to do the same thing again and again to test it. But we do not know how to call in a crop circle. Do you see what I mean? I mean, in other words, we have nothing to say about a crop circle appearing or in a particular place. From our perspective, it just happens. Now, I'm going to contradict what I've just said or add to it a different aspect, that one of the intriguing things about crop circles is that some of us have found that there's an interactive effect between us, our minds, our wishes, and whoever, whatever the genuine crop circle makers are. In other words, with groups of people, I've done this several times, that with a group of people, we would, like one evening at dinner, we would all, somebody would draw a design that they'd like to see made into a crop circle. And we would all focus on that design. In other words, we would meditate on that particular design and ask for that, you know, in our own minds, just in a meditative state, ask for that design to be made. And it happened about the six different times I tried this, different summers, that the very next day or the day after, that design appeared in the field as a crop circle. So we feel that there really is some kind of intelligence behind this that we can, even in our minds, communicate with if we want to, and that will be responded to. So to me, that is really exciting and meaningful.
Okay, well, all right, so that was a great answer there, and we're doing pretty good on time, guys, and so we'll get some more people up here on stage, and then at 15 till, we'll cut the hands off, so if anyone want to come up, you got 10 minutes to get into the queue. If not, we will shut hands off so that we will finish on time a little bit. So, Anur, you're up. What's up, buddy?
Hi, Roderick. Hi, Tiffany. Thanks for organizing this great room. I acknowledge that I'm being recorded. Hi, Barbara. I have two quick questions for you. Since you mentioned the underground water under crop circles, it kind of reminded me of pyramids, because if you look at the pyramids all over the world, Mayan, Bosnian, Giza, there are underground water canals.
Yes. And
they're using, like, one of the interpretations that these pyramids are using the water's stream energy with crystals inside the pyramids like quartz and create the vortex energy. Has anybody, based on your knowledge, tried to compare these two similarities? And the second question is, have you ever had a chance to interpret the messages on crop circles with your friends from the abduction experiences? Thank you.
Oh, interesting questions. Well, in terms of the water and the crystals, one thing about crop circles is that they're very often placed not only over underground water, but they're also placed over ley lines, L-E-Y lines, which are lines of energy which run through the earth. And there are particular places where these energy lines running through the earth cross each other. And that crossing point is called a power point. And that is where a lot of the ancient megalithic sites were built, you know, many, many centuries ago, probably a few thousand years ago. And that also is where churches and chapels have been built, not only in England, but all over Europe, that wherever there is a church or a chapel, that happens to be on one of those power points of one energy line running over another one, or maybe even a grouping of energy lines coming there together. So that's one aspect. Another aspect is that when the crop circles are placed near one of the ancient megalithic stone sites, like on Orkney Island in England, or Stonehenge, or the Avebury stone circles, as examples, those megalithic stones are not only huge and go down deep into the ground, they must, or they wouldn't stand up like they do, but they also are very often full of crystalline material. They're quartz crystal. So that may relate to your question. Now, as far as we know, the crop circles themselves are not placed over crystalline structure in the soil, but very often they're very close to these ancient megalithic stone sites. And what was your second question?
Have you ever had a chance to interpret the messages on crop circles with the people that you worked with who had alien abduction experiences?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Lots and lots of different meanings. Some of them show astronomical features, like solar eclipses. 1999, a beautiful, long, long pattern describing the movement during an eclipse. And then another one showed the eclipse of the moon. And some crop circles show moon cycles over a long period of time. And some of them show solar cycles too. So some of these big, big patterns of time, some of them show huge areas of time, like the Kali Yuga, you know, such as the Indians, Indians understand. And so I'd like to give an example of the astronomical ones, because I think this one is really remarkable. In 1994, actually, and you might remember, the Shoemaker-Levy comet was hurtling across space and hit Jupiter. And this was in our newspapers all over the world, a big major event. And there were 21 pieces of that comet. One would hit one day, and then maybe a day or two later, another piece of that comet would hit, and so on until all 21 had hit. Well, in the spring of that year, 1994, there was a pattern on a hillside in one area in Wiltshire. And the pattern looked like a big bug sort of creature hurtling across the hillside that had kind of a head to it and almost like two little horns. And then it had 21 pieces in its tail, shall we say. And then that similar type of pattern, not exactly the same, but very similar, happened on another hillside when the Shoemaker-Levy comet was almost at Jupiter. And then the night that the Shoemaker-Levy comet did hit Jupiter, and we, I guess NASA or whomever, anyway, our people, were able to take photographs of the impact site. And that night, that design exactly of the impact site appeared as another crop circle. And it kept on going for the next few weeks. This all started in July of 1994. And through the next weeks, for about a month, each time one piece of that Shoemaker-Levy comet hit Jupiter, there would be another crop circle here on Earth in southwest England showing the same type of pattern, but with one fewer circle left. In other words, each time there was really one circle left or piece left in the comet that was reflected in the crop circle on Earth until they had all 21 pieces hit that comet. And then there was a crop circle showing these circles forming a circle in themselves with a ring around it, which to me signified that, okay, it's complete. All the pieces of the comet have hit Jupiter out there in space, and it's completed here, and this symbol is showing it. Now, there also, I've got to mention, in 2001, there was a crop circle in Hampshire County, and it looked like a face looking up from the ground. And it was in kind of a rectangular shape rather than circular shape. There wasn't really anything circular about it. Many people thought that this was the face of a being from space. Many people thought, no, this was a human looking up. But most people whom I know who saw it said, oh, that reminds me of the face on Mars, which had been discovered by then. And then about 10 days later in the same field was the most remarkable thing. It was like a long, thin rectangle shape instead of a circle shape. And it looked identical to the glyph that we sent out from the Arecibo, Puerto Rico radio telescope in 1974. You might remember Frank Drake. He was responsible for sending out a signal into space aimed at the M13 star cluster. And that glyph had all kinds of information about us humans. Like it had symbols for our chemical constituency, our mineral consistency, our DNA, the shape of us with a small head and a larger, taller body, our distance from the sun or our relation to the sun, our population, and our transmission system. Now, in 2001, in this field I have just mentioned, a glyph that looked just like that, except for some very, very minor features, which seemed to be deliberate. Anyway, this looked like a response sent back to us in a crop circle, a response to our 1974 glyph that we sent out into space. So they told about Their chemical constituency was a little bit different than ours. Their mineral consistency, a little bit different than ours. Their DNA symbol, they had an extra strand of DNA in addition to what we have. We just showed two major strands, and it showed a figure for their population and their relationship to two suns, and a figure representing what they looked like, which was a much shorter figure with a much bigger head in relation to a smaller body, and then their transmission system, which was different than ours. And their transmission system, we recognized, was exactly like a crop circle that had been made in that same field the previous year, but we didn't realize. Anyway, that was a remarkable thing that happened. And then in 2002, there was an astonishing crop circle. Again, not a circle shape, but a rectangular shape, like a portrait in a picture frame. And that showed a head that looked like the standard representation that we tend to see of an alien head, an extraterrestrial head. Wider at the top, smaller at the chin, big, big eyes, tiny little nostrils, tiny little slit for the mouth. So a very recognizable, what we would call an alien head. And that crop circle, that design, was like he was holding a disc of information, like a CD or DVD. And that had an ASCII code pattern in it.
Wow.
And the pattern was decoded by those who understand ASCII code. And the message basically was, beware of lies and false promises. We abhor deceit. Not much time remaining. Conduit closing. But there is hope. Now, that message really made an impact on a lot of us. Who is lying to us? What are the false promises? What is the deceit? And I will leave that to you to give some thought to yourself. I think as the years have gone on, we have much more of a notion about all of that, about what we're warned against.
We have about 10 minutes left, and we still have 5 people up on the stage. So if that's okay with you, Barbara, we're going
sure.
to move on to Lynn. I just want to make sure everyone gets an opportunity to speak. Go ahead, Lynn. Lynn, are you still with us? Okay, I'll move on to Leon. And Lynn, if you come back, just let us know after Leon's done. Leon, if you could acknowledge you're being recorded, if you want to share.
Yes, I acknowledge I'm being recorded. I have 3 questions to ask Barbara. The first one is, have you spoken to a being or spoken to a hybrid being and asked why are they creating the crop circles and what's their intention? My second question is, are they communicating with other beings by creating these crop circles? And the third question is, are they staking this as their property or, you know, there's a certain region? Is that why they're creating these crop circles? That's my questions. Thanks. Great.
Wonderful questions. And I may forget the order of these, but I don't think that, I mean, this is only a guess because we don't really know from them. But it seems like they are trying to communicate with humanity more than probably communicate with other species or with each other. It seems like they're giving us a wake-up call. My sense is that they're trying to get us to be interested in this and get us to ask questions like you all are doing, which is wonderful. Getting us to think, gee, could there be other life out there in space? Could other life, if it exists, can it possibly come to Earth and leave some sort of indication that they have been here? And in other words, I think it's kind of like piquing our curiosity to wonder more about reality, wonder about space, wonder about them, you know, whether they do exist. Many people think they don't. Some of us are learning very much that they do, but that's certainly not the whole population. That was one of your questions. What, remind me, please, of the other?
The other question was, are they like claiming, by creating these crop circles, are they claiming this as their property, that they own this certain region, per se?
Y'all, you know, that's so interesting. I never, ever thought that thought. That's a whole new consideration. I don't think so. No, I think it is a very gentle, benign, lovely way for them to say, hey, humans, guess what? You're not the only ones in this universe, you know, that many of us exist, and we're coming here leaving a calling card for you to wonder about and for you to look into. I think it's much more that sort of thing. And then there are theories also that that they're helping the Earth by adding this energy in the crop circles to the Earth. And some people I know feel that one of the functions is that the crop circles are helping to sort of awaken the special energies and the special meanings of the ancient sacred sites, such as the sites with the magnificent standing stones. Now, I don't think it has anything to do with their wanting to take over or marking their property. But I can see why you would ask that. That's a very interesting thought. And I think you had a third question, too.
Yeah, my other question was, have you spoken to any beings or hybrid beings and asked whether, why are they creating these crop circles and what's their intention?
Not specifically, but I have talked to and known and wrote a book about some of the hybrids who are living peacefully and wonderfully here on Earth. And so they have not received information about the crop circles from the extraterrestrials that they have a lot of contact with. So as far as I know, we have never been given a real direct, shall we say, face-to-face message from extraterrestrials about the crop circles. And that's part of the intrigue. They want us to think about it, to ask questions, to wonder, to figure it out, rather than just giving us all the answers.
Lynn, I think I saw you pop back in. Are you available?
Yes, I'm available. Thank you.
Yes.
And I do know that I am being recorded. Barbara, this is amazing. It's all very new information for me.
Uh-huh.
But very, very, I mean, not that I don't believe it. It's just that the details are marvelous to absorb. Very early in the call, you mentioned something about a being from the 11th dimension.
Yes.
In passing. I'd really like to know more about this being and what they might have told you, what kind of information they might have given you.
Well, the being, Leolin, is not physical, because that's a very high dimension, way above the physical dimension that we are living in currently in these lifetimes. So it's an intelligence, a consciousness that does not have a physical body, but is a very knowledgeable mind, a knowledgeable consciousness. And from that dimension, they can look at the third dimension and see so many things about it that we don't see because we're all involved in it. The second half of the book has extraordinary information that I certainly wouldn't know from any other source about reality. A lot of it has to do with physics, and Leyland has tried to explain it in a way that we who are not students of physics would be able to understand. So if you're interested enough in that subject, perhaps you'd want to read that book, Crop Circles Revealed, by myself and Judith Moore, because that has, half a book worth of channeled information specifically about the crop circles.
Well, that sounds wonderful. I was wondering if there was any messages from Leyland about us and about where we're going and how what we're doing, and just, or was it mostly just about science?
Well, it includes some information about us too, that we have so much to wake up to. There's so much more in existence than we humans have ever even dreamed, and that consciousness is developing more and more within humanity. And that's part of the crop circle phenomenon, is to kind of nudge that along gently. So we're in a period of great growth of consciousness and awakening. That's part of the message. And then she gives so much more, but it's done in a very honoring way. Even though she, this 11th dimensional being, and others in her realm are so much more advanced in knowledge and consciousness, thought, awareness than we humans are, they have great love for us. It's kind of like we're their little children, and they'd like to guide us along and have us grow, open, develop, and learn more and more. And they see us now, fortunately, as being ready to do much more than that. They didn't do crop circles like they do now. They may have done some simple ones way back, even in the 1600s or so, but these complex, beautiful patterns that we really want to figure out, it seems like they waited until there was enough of us in humanity who would really want to look into this and grow with it and wonder with it and be amazed with it. And all of this is a growth of our consciousness, which is what these higher beings would really like to see.
Makes perfect sense. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you for this night. It's been amazing.
Oh, wonderful.
All right. Nick?
Hi there. I'll be very brief. First of all, thank you for the room, and thank you for your time tonight. I wanted to ask if...
Do you acknowledge you're being recorded? Sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I acknowledge I'm being recorded. So of the multiple experiences you've had checking out these crop circles, you've mentioned the heightened energies and stuff like that that have been present. Are there any messages that you feel you intuited in these like meditations you've done out there? A lot of the questions have been relating to messages from them, but specifically in the presence of being there. Cause sometimes, when you're in a certain location, especially in a location that has high energetic properties, sometimes you just intuit, messages that just don't, that just, happen. So anyway, point is, anything you've intuited in those places that you would like to share, I'd be very curious to hear.
Yes, it did happen to me personally once in a while. For instance, I was in a crop circle and lying down in it, And I just sort of asked the question in my own mind, okay, what does this symbol represent? And immediately the thought, it seemed like an answer to that question, came into my mind, simply saying solar flares, watch out for solar flares. And then later on in that day, when I got to somewhere where I could see the picture, the photograph of that particular crop circle taken from an airplane or a helicopter, in other words, see the whole pattern, which you can't see when you're in it. It's too big. And then you're down at ground level, of course. But when I saw the airplane picture, it was perfect for solar flares. It was a circle with an inner ring laid down. And then it had these curved pathways from the inner circle to the out circle. They like little flares going out from the center circle to the outer ring all around the circle. It looked like a series of solar flares. So from that, it was interesting because it was during the next year that we began to hear more news, or at least I was aware of hearing more news than I ever had before about the danger of solar flares coming to Earth and shutting down our grids and our electrical systems and so forth. So this crop circle happened just before, I mean, maybe a few months before there was a lot of attention being paid to solar flares here on Earth. So that's one example that comes to mind. There were others too, where I'd be in a crop circle, not having seen the overhead picture of it yet, and would have an insight about it. And then it turned out that fit whatever I had learned about it later. There are probably people who are even more intuitively tuned in who had that sort of thing happen even more than I did. It's very possible.
That's amazing, though. Thank you so much for sharing. That's awesome.
You're welcome.
All right. Vinny?
Yes. Hey, I do acknowledge that I am being recorded. And, you know, like, say good evening to everybody that's in the room, especially to Barbara. My question for Barbara is, when these crop circles appear, do each crop circle represent do they represent some type of extraterrestrial life from a different galaxy, or does it represent, let's say they're from planet, example, XYZ, and their solar system, or how we say their galaxy, is known for, you know, let's say E equals MC squared. Do every crop circle represent different types of extraterrestrial beings?
Well, what a great question. I think that it seems like different crop circles might be coming from different intelligences. There are sort of different style series in some of the crop circles, which indicate that they might come from different groups. But I have not been able to connect one style or one type of crop circle with a particular species of extraterrestrial beings. Maybe some of them do connect with a specific species, but I don't know, and I don't know anybody who really does know. But what a great thought. That could be the case, that different ones come from different civilizations out there.
All right.
Yeah. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the knowledge that you're actually, given us. And, you know, now that you have given me a clearer explanation, now it's going to make me want to take a look closer at these crop circles, study them, and try to actually be one with them so that,
yeah,
that way I can have the clarity and the clairvoyance in order to achieve not only knowledge, but understanding. And thank you.
Great. You're welcome. I'd like to mention a good reference that any of you could look up if you'd like to. It's a website called Crop Circle Connector. Crop Circle Connector. It's run by a couple of young men, wonderful young men. Well, maybe they're not so young anymore, but they were young when they started this, in England. And they have been extremely interested in the crop circle phenomenon. And they receive, every crop circle season, they receive photos from people who go up in the air in microlights or helicopters or small airplanes and photograph the crop circles from above, which is the very best way to see the whole pattern of the crop circle. And then they also receive comments about the crop circle from people who have visited them. And they give the locations in the fields near whichever towns that they appear in so that people can look them up during the current season if they're there in that part of England and go and see them. So it's and so they've got archives that go back to the late 1990s. So that's a lot of crop circle. And they're organized by year and by month of the year. So if you want to get a really wonderful dose of crop circles, that's the best way that I can recommend that you do that right there on the website, Crop Circle Connector. .com.
And our final guest, Joshua.
Hi, Barbara. Thanks for your talk. It's late. I enjoyed listening. I don't need to ask a question because it's bedtime pretty soon. But
well, you don't want got the roost in the picture. I'm sure you're gonna wake everybody up, right?
Yeah, I wake up early.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you, Joshua, as always. Thank you. Okay, so guys, this is Roderick. Of course, you know that. And of course, you're here at Extraterrestrial Evidence. Now, we appreciate each and every one of you being here, and especially our guest, Barbara Lamb. And so as we begin to close out tonight, I want you to thank everyone who did sign up for our UFO 800 number list, and thank a couple of you who did give me a call while we're live. I appreciate you guys doing that too. If you haven't had an opportunity, do go ahead and you can click my profile, get that 800 number, text the word UFO. You're going to be on our VIP alert. I mean, there's a lot of things coming down with disclosure. There's a lot of guests that we're going to have during the daytime that when we go live here on Clubhouse, you don't want to miss that alert because you don't get all these alerts here from there. And so I get a lot of messages from people saying, hey, I missed it. When is it? And we got 8,000 members. So I figured we need to go ahead and find our way to communicate. Now, again, that number is 800 number. You can call anywhere in the world during the day. I'll answer it. Anyone else can answer it. That we're going to be having people here to do that. But at the end of the day, it's all about connecting with you. Barbara, we really appreciate you as always. Just a phenomenal person. You guys want to get her book? I have some here. I have the one with the crop circle book she was just talking about tonight. Phenomenal, great book. So definitely go to her site. In fact, Barbara, where can they find your books?
Oh, well, they are on Amazon.com, or you can get them from me if you'd like a signed copy. Go to my website, which is Barbara Lamb, L-A-M-B, Barbara Lamb Regressions. .com, BarbaraLambRegressions.com. You can order Crop Circles Revealed or my book Meet the Hybrids or my book, Alien Experiences. And then coming out any day now is my book with Mary Edwards called Kids Adventures with E.T. Friends in Space, a wonderful new book about children who have extraterrestrial encounters. And it's not only for children, it's aimed at children, but adults can get a lot out of it too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So basically, yeah, Mary's a part of that authorship, and she's a great person too. She's actually has a lot of great information. In fact, Mary's, if I could bring her up for a quick moment, if she give her 3 minutes, she can kind of tell you guys a little bit about her. Let me see if I can do that real quick. Mary, I sent you an invite to come up. You just look on your thing and push it and accept it, and you could come up front if you can see it there. If not, we'll get her on here one of these days as a guest to talk about her life with her hybrid children that she has as well. And so she has a great story there as well. So with that being said, I did try to send an invite, so she might have. Oh, there she is. Okay, so Mary, go ahead and if you don't mind, just real quickly, just tell us a little bit about you. And you and Barbara written this book, and we'll get you back, but go ahead and just share with people your background. And if you can do that in less than 4 or 5 minutes, because I know you got a lot to tell. Go ahead.
No, I'd be happy to. Nice to be with you all. And Barbara, great to hear you as always. We spoke earlier, as always.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm an unusual person, I think. I grew up outside Chicago with a rocket scientist father and grandfather who designed and manufactured heavy rocketry from space and were involved in the great space world of the 1956, the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. And I have found out, I also have found out that he was part of secret space during his lifetime at being in part of NASA and the government and then the sort of underground part of that. But I grew up with him as a father and was fascinated by space as a young girl. And that's why when I found Barbara, I said, now it's time. Space is back. It's time.
And Werner von Braun worked for your father too, right?
Yeah, Dr. Werner von Braun worked for my father's company. It was called Cook Electric back in the day for 5 years. And they were doing a lot of, you know, they were designing and manufacturing heavy rocketry, most of the nose cones of rocket ships, the parachutes that would brought them not only the monkeys down, but the first rockets and Apollo. They designed all the Apollo optic systems and thousands of other products. So he was at Princeton University in the 40s with Albert Einstein, and that relationship carried on for a lifetime along with the government and space. And my dad actually worked on Manhattan Project bomb, which is pretty crazy. I found out about pretty recently. And then he was also part of a hybridization program, a forefront. Sorry, Barbara, you know all this ad nauseum, but I'm sharing it with everybody else. He was part of a hybridization program with the Grays. And I was too. And I went on craft the first time when I was 5 years old and 6 years old. And they took a bunch of my eggs. And I have found out recently that I have 6 hybrid kids in their 20s. I didn't know that I had children. I'd been told by many psychics over 40, 50 years that I was a starseed, that I was from another place, that I was called a baby mama. And I just actually, so I have 3 Chinese kids who are in their 20s, who have wives and husbands and have children of their own. There are a couple that are in South America, one that's up on craft, a hybrid like I am with part ET and part human. And then I just found out I have 2 more hybrid children that are up and living in the Pleiades that I've talked and spoke, happened to speak through with a medium of several times. And I was regressed by Barbara, which was great. And she tried to take me back to remembering some of these moments when I was on craft as a 5 and a 6 year old. And then I went back at 10. And I've been evidently going up ever since working on interplanetary projects. I worked at NASA for 5 years doing space station interiors 35 years ago for five incredible years working out of Moffett Field here in California. I'm in San Francisco. And then we worked down at Johnson Space Center. And I said, you know, people like my father who are right stuff engineers don't, you know, want to hear that we're going to work on an international space station for humans without trying to scientificate it. So I talked NASA into spending a lot of money in a couple of years. And we built a full-size mock-up down at Johnson Space Center with the first habitability and human factors department at Moffett Field. And then we went down and did research at Johnson Space Center. I was hired by Dr. Yvonne Clearwater way back then for the first International Space Station. And I said, we have to build a full-size mock-up to test and scientificate as much as we can pupillary dilation, heartbeat, all the emotional, psychological, physical responses as much as we could to people at a fake, you know, mobile home park, basically, like a space station is, that flies around the globe, you know, every hour.
Got a question for you, Mary. I know we can go on. Why don't we do this? Next week, we got either Tuesday or Thursday. Pick a day. Which day you want to come on, and we'll interview you.
Oh, I'd love to do it Tuesday. I'm free Tuesday.
Okay.
I would love to.
You guys hear it? Tuesday. We will have Mary on to interview, and we'll go into more details and questions and everything yet. You know, I just wanted to kind of do a brief introduction for you from there. And so with that being said, Mary, we're going to go ahead and shut this down tonight, if you don't mind, but we're going to have you back on Tuesday. And once again, Barbara, I want to thank you for being here with us all across the board here, you know.
Very welcome. Been so enjoyable. And I really appreciate your audience. They've got great.
We have the greatest audience. Oh, my God.
Really thinking, inquiring people, and that's wonderful.
Yes, this group, this club, I think Extraterrestrial Evidence is really, it's not just, although I may have been the one to found it, I'm not the one that makes it. I mean, it's everybody out there, the questions, the participation, and everything else. And so our goal is to make this the place where people are comfortable sharing their experiences, no ridicule, this is it. You know, we don't allow anyone to bash or do anything because, you know, we all are here to understand what is happening to the phenomenon out there. And so I'm just really excited about that. And, of course, to my right is Tiffany, who does an awesome job here as an admin from there. And now, like I said, you guys have a way to contact us directly. And please, in the future, don't call while I'm up here talking. We got about 10 of them tonight. They were just testing the water, right? So I started to answer and just put them in here and blow them right up in this call because you know I can do it on the switchboard. So I was like, nah, I'm not gonna do that. But anyway, all of you, it's been a plum pleasing pleasure and a privilege serving you tonight. I'm Roderick Martin, and as I always tell you guys, you know, Clubhouse is 24/7, 12/365 plus OT. The problem is you can't stay here. We got to go. All right, guys. We'll talk to you on Tuesday with Mary. So y'all guys come back. Good night.